Turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians tonight. And as we're turning there, we're glad to have Pam visiting with us again tonight. Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's begin reading at verse 17. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, it's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. It's a good thing to be here with fellow believers. Good thing, Father, to have your word and to be able to freely preach it as it is. And I pray, my Father, that as we look into the word of God tonight, you might, by your Holy Spirit, not only open the lips of your servant to speak, but the heart of every person, whether in this place or watching or listening, open our hearts to the word of God and let us see some little thing that would help us, a little jewel that we could take away, a little food for the soul. I pray you'd help us, my Father, that you might magnify yourself and glorify your Son. We just pray that all will be for you, and then you'll work in us so that you can work through us. We love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that most of us are very familiar with verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, but all things have become new. And I know that we have learned before in other messages and Sunday school that the Ark of Noah was a typology or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Ark of Noah, as a picture, was a picture of a physical structure to deliver physical people from a physical judgment of God upon wicked mankind. Anyone who would believe the preaching of Noah. And the Bible says he preached, and by the way, he preached for 120 years. Amen. And by faith, Noah and his family entered into the ark, and anyone else who he had preached to, if they would just believe and enter into the ark, they would have been saved from the worldwide flood. The Messiah Savior, Jesus Christ, is a spiritual ark, delivering those who enter from the spiritual judgment of their sins. That judgment being eternity in the lake of fire mentioned in Revelation chapter 20 and 21. Those in Noah's day had to enter by faith, believing the preaching of a coming judgment by Noah. And those alive today, if they want to be saved from the impending judgment of God, they must enter in by faith into Jesus Christ as their Savior by the preaching of the gospel. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Jesus, speaking of Jesus, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Turn with me, keep your place here, but turn with me over to, you're there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 19. It says, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And here's the key. Verse 21, for he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us. Who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why Jesus came, to seek and save that which was lost, to pay the penalty of our sin, to ransom us from the judgment of God, eternity in the lake of fire, as a result of the just punishment of our sins. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, if you want to be saved from the judgment of God to come, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as those people in Noah's day, if they wanted to be delivered from the flood, had to believe in the preaching of Noah and get in the ark. But I want you to notice tonight is what happens when a person places their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior and trusts Him to deliver them from the judgment to come. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. My first point tonight is this, the change. The change. You know, change is part of Christian living. If you're not changing, you're not living the Christian life. Some change is quick. Some change is slow. Sometimes we change a lot. And sometimes we just change a little. But in the Christian life, it's always a life of changing. You know, we're going to have springtime here pretty soon. And you know, you ever notice when you see those little tiny green buds and leaves that come out, they're very small, and you can see a greenish hue on the bush, and that's that new life coming out. And it seems like so slow for that to happen that all of a sudden you turn around and everything's green, right? And you have that fast change. We don't like change. You know why we don't like to change? Well, there's many reasons. One of them, we're just stubborn. Another one is, we're sinners saved by grace. But you know, change takes work, doesn't it? You know, we don't want to change, but we want everybody else to change. Change takes work. If you're going to change the oil in your car, it takes work. If you want to change your bed, it takes work. If you're going to change as a Christian, it takes work. And so we see the change. The change from the old to the new. The old creature, a sinner, to the new creature, a saint. The change from the past to the present and the future. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new and are becoming new. Every day is a new day to learn. A new day to grow, a new day to discover, a new day to live for the Lord. A new day to look and see what's Jesus going to do today. What can I do for Jesus today? In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's the Christian life. The Christian life isn't living in yesterday. It's living in today and looking forward to tomorrow. Amen. It's forgetting those things which are behind. When Paul said that, he was thinking and mentioning his heritage and his family religion and all that he'd been steeped in and taught in for so long. And he said, you know what? I got to leave all that behind. Why? Because now I'm in Christ. I'm a new creature. And I'm going to press forward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Amen. I had an old me. And now there's a new me. I had an old life, and now there's a new life. I had an old destination, hell, and now there's a new destination, heaven. All things are become new. What does this all add up to? Change. Doesn't it? The Christian life's all about change. God's changing us on a daily basis. A change that takes place in the heart. Look at chapter 5 and verse 15. Look at what it says here. And that he died for all. I'm sorry. Yes. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see the change of heart? Amen. Before I was a new creature in Christ, I was living for me. The Bible says now, after you become a new creature and you know what Jesus has done for you, we are to live not unto ourselves, but unto him. There's a change in the heart. There's a change that takes place in the mind when a person gets saved. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a change in the heart. There's a change in the mind. Listen, you cannot know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God with the old mind. Amen. Right. With the natural mind. You can only know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God by the new mind, as our minds are being renewed day by day. The first half of that verse is the old me, and be not conformed to this world. That's the old me. Folks, we spend our lives being conformed to this world, squeezed into the world's mold, squeezed into the world's way of thinking, squeezed into the world's way of feeling, squeezed into the world's way of living. All of us did. That's the old me. But the second half of the verse is that transformation into the new me. By what? By the renewing of my mind. And so he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Break out. Break out of the world's mold and the world's way and the world's thinking. Be renewed in your mind and be transformed. You know, that butterfly breaks out of that cocoon. And don't you think what do you think it likes, being a worm or a butterfly better? What do you think? I don't know about you. I'd rather be a butterfly than a worm any day. I can't, you know, that butterfly gets to break out of that cocoon, and what does it do? Pew! I mean, it just takes off flying and flapping them wings and just probably laughing and giggling and having a great time. Before it was just hanging there. Now it's a butterfly. Don't you love butterflies? I got a butterfly bush in my yard. A change that takes place not only in the heart and the mind, but a change that takes place in the spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so when we trust Christ as our Savior, he makes us a new creature from top to bottom, tip to toe, east, west, north, south, in, out, up, down. He makes us new creatures in our minds, in our hearts, and in our spirit. That's the whole me. Change from being enemies of God to being reconciled to God. Change from being of the world to being of God. Listen to this. John 15:19. Jesus said to his disciples, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So what's Jesus saying? He said, you know, you used to be of the world. And when you were of the world loved you. But I've chosen you out of the world. That's why it hates you. And then it says this in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children. See, we used to be of the world, but when we came to Jesus our Savior, now we're of God. When we were of the world loved us. But we were enemies with God. Now we've been reconciled to God and we're of God, and the world hates us. As the hymn says, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Now, friends, I remember when Jesus came into my heart. I remember when he started making those changes. And I remember the changes he made, cataclysmic changes and little itty-bitty changes. Changes that were quick and changes that were slow. And he's still making changes.
Amen.
Which brings me to point number two. You see, there is the change, but then there is changing. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 at verse 18. There's changing. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, here it is, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The change that took place when you trusted Christ as your Savior initiated, began, instituted a changing. The word change in the dictionary means to make or become different. Isn't that interesting? So God says he's changing us. What's he trying to do? He's making us different. Different than what? Different than we were. Different than when we were of the world. He's making us different from the world. Why? Because now we're of him. He's changing us. Making us different. And the emphasis is on the different. Synonyms for change are conversion. How about this? Metamorphosis. Transformation. And this verse tells us that there is an ongoing process of change throughout the Christian life. It says we are changed from glory to glory. So we have the initial change at salvation. And we have point number three, the final change. And in the middle is point number two, the changing. You got it? We as new creatures and newborn babes in Christ should be changing from one degree of glory to another degree of glory all along the path of life. We're to live for what? For the glory of God. Now, when I was a brand new Christian, I brought glory to God because I was now a newborn Christian. And he started making changes. But there were still parts of my life that weren't as changed as they should have been and they will eventually get. And so as I grow and as I make one change after another, I start glorifying God more and more and more. And we're changed from glory to glory. We're growing as we're living our Christian lives. We're to be growing and changing, and here it is, and becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the change is all about. The change is to take us as lost sinners on our way to hell, save us, and then change us to make us more like Jesus. That's an incredible thing. Look what it says here. But we all, with open face, beholding, verse 18, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same what? The same image. You know what? That word image there means likeness. I like this word, resemblance. We're being changed into the resemblance of Jesus Christ. I didn't resemble him very much when I was lost. I couldn't. But after I got saved, I could start to be changed so that I would start to resemble Jesus more and more and more and more as my life went on. And isn't that, it even happens in the natural world. We have a baby that's born and everybody's saying, I think it looks like his mom. I think it looks like his dad. But as that child grows, it starts to look more and more like one of them, right? Hopefully the boys start to look more and more like their dad, and the girls start to look more and more like their mom. They start to have a resemblance Why? Because they are the parents. You know what? God is our Father, and we are in Christ. And as we grow, we're to look more and more like Jesus, like a child of God. 1 Corinthians 15:41 says this. Now listen, it says, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. One star differeth from another star in glory. And so we look up in the sky, we see all those millions and billions of stars. You know what? They're all different. Just like snowflakes. Just like fingerprints. Isn't God incredible? How many hundreds of millions of people have been born on planet Earth and not one of them has the same thumbprint? I mean, I look at my thumbprint. You'd think you'd run out of combinations eventually, right? And how about snowflakes? How many quadrillion, zubillion snowflakes are there, and they've never found two the same? And have you ever looked at one, how intricate it is? You'd think somewhere along the line there'd be like a whole pile of them that looked the same, right? God is awesome. And he says, you look up at them stars, and they're all different one from another. There's something different about it. Every one of those billions of stars, something different about each one. And you look at Christians. He said, we're being changed from glory to glory. He said, there's one glory of the sun, there's one glory of the moon. Some Christians are like suns, S-U-Ns, because they're sons, S-O-Ns. But there's the one glory of the sun. So here's a Christian who kind of is at the sun glory stage. In other words, this person's life is being filled with the Spirit and walking close with God, and Jesus is living through him, and he just shines with Jesus. Then you have another Christian, maybe is the moon. There's a different glory of the moon. Now the moon's bright too. It's just not as bright as the sun. And so there's other Christians that are kind of like moon Christians. And you got the stars. Some are brighter than others. Some Christians are shining brighter for Jesus than other Christians. But we're all being changed. The exciting part is, you might be at the moon stage now, but praise God, you can get all the way up to the sun stage. Amen? You might be a little twinkle way out somewhere, but praise God, God can change you into a big twinkle. Some Christians just twinkle a little more than others. I don't know about you, but I want to twinkle, all I can twinkle, huh? I want to shine all I can. I mean, why be content with being a little twinkle when you can be a big twinkle? Look, I might never be a big shot on planet Earth, but I can be a big twinkle for Jesus. Amen. And so I'm just going to work at being the biggest twinkle I can be. And the difference between a big twinkle and a little twinkle is how much they resemble Jesus Christ. You see? How much we've been changed determines how great our twinkle is. And the more we're like Jesus, the more our twinkle. The brighter our glow. And what is the catalyst for such change? And we know that being born again is where it begins. But how do we get to be more like Jesus? I mean, how do we increase our twinkle? How does that happen? Well, there's two ways, right here in our verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. First of all, is the Word of God. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. You see that? What are we doing? We're beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Where do we behold the glory of the Lord? Where do we behold that? Right here in His Word. And it's interesting that He would use the word glass. But first, let's look at open face. It says, we all with open face. Here He's referring back to Moses, who we just talked about, who was only allowed to see God's afterglow. The Bible says it was His hinder parts. In other words, when Moses wanted to see God, God said, I can't let you see all of me. I can just let you see the glow after I pass by. So I'm going to put you over here. I'm going to put my hand, and I'm going to pass by. And then after I'm gone, I'm going to let you look at my glow. And the glow was so amazing, it stuck to his face. You remember that? Wow, how exciting that is. But Moses never got to see except by the veil. Remember the veil he put on? Remember the veil that was in the tabernacle? Remember the veil that was in the temple? It was always separating the people from the glory of God. All that's done away with in Christ. When Jesus Christ died, it says the veil was rent from the top down. Was rent into opening up that access to the Father. We behold Jesus Christ with open face in the Word of God. And this idea of the glass is making reference to the Word of God. There are two different Greek words translated glass, and they both have the meaning of the modern day word mirror. What do we call a mirror? What's the old fashioned term for a mirror? A looking glass. And that's what he's referring to here. We are beholding the reflection and the image and the glory of the Lord Jesus as we look into the Word of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see through a glass darkly." James, look, go to James. Keep your place here, but go with me to James if you would. The book of James. Look at chapter 1. James talks about it too. But here it's even more clearly associated to the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." What's he saying? He said, you know what? It's not to coming and hearing. It's to coming and hearing and going and doing. That's what counts, right? All right. And then he says, "For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a what? In a glass, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." I do that every day. I look into the mirror, I go, "Oh!" And then I walk away and forget how old I am. Anybody else? Yeah. I look in the mirror and say, "Who's that guy? What happened to him?" And I have to deal with my own oldness. It's depressing. But you know what I do? I go away from the glass and I forget what manner of man I saw in that mirror. See? Because I feel younger and I think younger than what I see in that mirror. But you have to remember to some extent what you saw in the mirror. Because if I try to go out and do things like I think in my mind I can do, it'll remind me the guy in the mirror is really the guy. Right? So I got to be careful when I look in the mirror and I walk away and I forget what manner of man I was beholding. I have to remember it did reflect some limitations to me. When we get in the Word of God, it reflects to us our limitations. It reflects to us our the spaghetti sauce on our face. Right? Or, "Oh, I forgot to shave today." And if we just walk away and don't do anything about what we saw, the Bible says we will not be blessed in our deed. Look what it says here. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So I look into the Word of God, and the Word of God says, "You're wrong, you got to change that." I say, "Okay." And I go, "Change it, I'm blessed." If I look into the Word of God, and it says, "You got to change that," and I go, "Oh, okay." And I walk away and I don't change it, I'm not blessed. I'm just same old, same old. Listen, I don't want to be the same old, same old. How about you want to be the same? Go ahead, be the same old, same old. I don't. I want to twinkle more. See? And sometimes I get a little rust on my twinkler. You know? A little soot. And the Bible says, if you want to twinkle more, you got to take care of that. And I say, okay. Two things. In the Word of God. Number one, we behold the reflection of Jesus Christ in the Word of God. So wrote Paul. The second thing we behold is a reflection of ourselves as the Word of God reveals us to be, and those things which yet need to be changed. So wrote James. So we're changed from glory to glory to a greater resemblance of Christ by the Word of God. What else helps us change? Same verse. Go back to me. With me, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Here's the second thing. Not only are we changed by the Word of God, but it says like this, at the very end of the verse, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. We're changed by the Spirit of God. The indwelling Holy Spirit's power enlightens the believer in the Word of God and enables the believer by the Word of God. So here's what happens. I have the Spirit of God. He shows me something. He opens my mind and my understanding to a passage of Scripture. So I can see it, so that that Word and that Spirit as I go away can enable me to do it. You following me? To make the change. As we behold Christ in the New Testament, we're changed by the Spirit of God to a greater resemblance of Christ in ourselves. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the vine. Christ is the vine, and we become more like Him by being filled with the Spirit. And we will produce fruit that resembles His fruit, not our own corrupt fruit. Huh? Did you follow that line of reasoning? You see, God, before I was saved, all I could do is produce the old corrupt fruit of the human nature. But when I became a child of God and the Spirit of God dwells in me and I read the Word of God and I hear the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then God can produce in me the fruit of the vine, His fruit. I'm reminded of the men who came to Philip in John chapter 12, verse 21. You know what they said to Philip? They said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." These men knew a couple of things. Number one, they knew that Philip knew Jesus. Did they? Wouldn't do them any good to go up to somebody that didn't know Jesus and say, "Sir, we'd see Jesus." So they knew that Philip knew Jesus. Number two, these men knew that Philip could introduce them to Jesus. And number three, these men must have known this because they saw a resemblance of Jesus in Philip. You know what the Scripture says of the disciples? They took note that they had been with Jesus. When the disciples spent time with Jesus, they were different. He changed them. He gave them wisdom they didn't have. He gave them boldness they didn't have. They were unlearned and ignorant fishermen, but they took note. Hey, what's with these guys? They're just ignorant and unlearned fishermen. They were with Jesus. Oh, that's why they're different. Huh? And so they said, "Philip, sir, we'd see Jesus." They must have seen a little bit of Jesus in Philip. Then this verse reminds me of 1 Peter 3:15 that says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, did you ever wonder about that? Did you ever wonder why men would come and ask me? The same reason they came and asked Philip. They said, "This guy knows Jesus. This guy can introduce me to Jesus." They saw something in Philip that recommended Jesus, that resembled Jesus. And I'm telling you that when the more we resemble Jesus, the more we'll have men ask us the reason of the hope that's in us. Amen. They see Jesus in us. You see, the first place people can see Jesus is in you. Right. And that's only possible when we're changed from glory to glory. The Bible says he's conforming us under the image of his dear Son, into the resemblance of his dear Son. And so there's a changing. All right, so you got the change. Boom, you're changed. Then you got the changing, right? And then, let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. We have the changed. E-D. That means it's done. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The final and glorious change is coming. Amen. Right now, he's changing on the inside. He's changing our hearts. He's changing our minds. He's changing our spirit, where he's making us more like Jesus, not in physical appearance, but inside. And I honestly believe this with all my heart. There's a glow that comes the closer you walk with Jesus. You can see it on people's faces. Now, the world might not understand it. We might not always pick up on it, but I've noticed it. I've known people that were hard as nails before they got saved. I mean, they looked hard. They talked hard. They lived hard. Then they got saved. And all of a sudden I saw a softening of their life and a softening of their words and a softening of their countenance. And the frowns started, you know, those frowns started relaxing and turned to smiles. There's a change. But one of these days, it's not just going to be on the inside affecting the outside. It's going to be the outside. He's going to change these what bodies? Vile bodies. Right now we're vile. But he says he's going to change our vile body. And he's going to make it like unto his glorious body. Why are these bodies considered vile? Because of sin. But we're going to be changed and fashioned. That means to become like his glorious body, his resurrected body. Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's turn over there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul wrote about this change. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 49. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, that's Adam, the human species, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's the second Adam, Jesus. Now this I say, brethren, now listen to this, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that means die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's the final change. That is when we are changed forever. The corruptible puts on incorruption. The mortal puts on immortality. And he said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What a glorious day that will be. John wrote about it in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Amen. For we shall see him as he is. Now remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. He said, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. There are two things here. When Jesus comes, I will know him or see him, not through the word of God only, but face to face.
Amen.
As he sees me. You see, he sees me. I see him here. But one of these days, I'm going to see him face to face. The second thing, to go. Number two, when Jesus comes, I will know or see myself even as he knows or sees me. How does he see me? He sees me as redeemed. He sees me as holy. He sees me as perfect. Why? In him. I don't see myself. I can't see myself that way here. But one of these days when Jesus comes, I'll know even as I am known. How does he know me? He knows me as a child of God. One day I'll know that. I know it now because of this. One day I'm going to see him face to face. And I'm going to know him just like he knows me. I'm going to see him face to face just like he sees me now face to face. I'll know me just like he knows me right now. And remember 1 Corinthians 15:50? It said this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. After his resurrection, Jesus was careful to say in Luke 24:39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. Here it is. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. You notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say flesh and blood. He said flesh and bone. See, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. But flesh and bone can. You say, what do you mean? Blood is necessary for physical life. But spiritual life is of the spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We have human blood. And we're on this planet. And the life is in the blood. When we go to heaven, there's no blood. Why? You don't need blood. Life is in the spirit. See? Blood was for physical life. The spirit is for spiritual life. When we're resurrected, we have resurrected spiritual bodies, and our life is of the spirit, not of the blood. That's why flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said this. Well, he said in 1 Corinthians 15:44, there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. See? Right now I'm in the natural body. But when Jesus comes, I'll be changed. And I'll be in a spiritual body. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You just got your flesh and your blood and you're human and you're sinful. But when you're born of the Spirit, now you're born of God. Now you're ready to have that physical body changed into the spiritual body. A resurrected body just like Jesus. So we experience the change when we're born again. We experience changing throughout our Christian life. And we will finally be changed into his perfect image when he returns. The goal should be to be as close to that image as possible when he comes. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question tonight. If you're saved and you're born again and you know that you've been born of the Spirit of God, that you're a child of God, are you changing? Are you cooperating with the changes that God wants to make in you? Maybe there's a change right now that you know God's trying to work in your heart, your mind, your life. You've been resisting it. You've been quenching the Spirit. Maybe tonight you can say, Lord, I'm ready to let you have that. I'm ready to let you change me. I know that you're glad for the change. And you're anxiously awaiting for the final change. But it is in the in-between of life where the changing takes place. It's in the in-between of life where God gets the glory as you begin to resemble his Son more and more. It's in the in-between of life where you get to shine And you get to serve and you get to surrender and you get to be conformed to the image of God's Son. This earthly life is unique, and it's a once for all eternity opportunity to live by faith and glorify God. Planet Earth is the only place you will ever be able to obey by faith. It's the only place you'll be able to trust Him by faith. It's the only place you'll ever be able to live by faith. And the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. In this life only can you earn the rewards that you'll cast at His feet. And if you're watching or listening or here tonight and you've never been born of the Spirit, in this life only can you be saved by grace through faith. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. After you leave this life, it'll be too late because you will no longer be able to practice faith. And today is the only part of this life that you have because tomorrow is not guaranteed. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And James wrote, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. My dear friend, if you've never been born of the Spirit of God, you can be born of the Spirit of God tonight. Right where you sit. It's an eternal transaction that takes place at the moment you recognize your sinful state and Jesus as the Savior, the way, the truth, and the life, and you trust Him and believe on Him and receive Him as your Savior. You say, preacher, I'm ready. I'm ready to do that. I'd like to do it right here in my seat. Anybody like that here today? If that's what you need to do, just look up. Let me see you. I'll see you. You'll see me. And I'll know that that's what you need to do. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we so often are guilty of resisting the changes you want to make. Somehow we think we know better. But Lord, really, we're blessed when we are doers, not just hearers. Father, those in this room who are saved, those who are watching and listening who are saved, we've had the change. We've been made new creatures. And now you're changing us to make us more like Jesus. Help us to cooperate. Help us to get in the Word of God, to be filled with the Spirit, so we can have the fruit of the vine, and we can resemble Jesus more and more and more, till that coming day when we will be changed into His likeness forever and ever. Help us tonight, my Father. Guide and direct us in the invitation as only you can. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing number 302. 302. Let's stand together, 302, and let's sing the song. And if the Lord's spoken to your heart, maybe you'd like to come talk to Him tonight. Maybe there's something you, just little thing that you need to relinquish. Maybe a big thing. Maybe a change that God is working on in your life and you've been resisting or holding back. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, Lord, I'm just tired of resisting you. Any change He makes to be more like Jesus is a good thing. Why wouldn't we want to be more like Him? Why don't you come? And if you have any questions about going to heaven, we want to show you from the Bible very carefully and clearly how you can know for sure. You come and see me, we'll help you. All right, on the first.